how do we make actual choices that matter and not just go with following the directions of all the shoulds?
This is Heart of the Story, and I'm Nadine Kenny Johnstone. I'm an author and a holistic writing coach who talks with today's top women writers about how to navigate life when things don't go according to plan. These impactful conversations and personal reflections invite you to be seen, feel supported, and ultimately fall back in love with yourself. So let's go together to that honest, powerful place, the heart of the story.
Hi, friends. If you are anything like me, prioritizing your well-being is of utmost importance to you. You are cognizant of paying attention to your mental, emotional, and physical wellness, and yet maybe you find self-care to be a very tricky term and to be a very commodified situation that tricks us into buying products. And so you might have this sort of layered feeling, complicated feeling when it comes to what self-care actually is and what it looks like to put yourself first. I have been on this quest for years and years trying to figure out how to take care of myself well, how to love myself, how to live life as a love letter to myself. And it has been a long but fruitful journey, and I'm always learning something new. And today I wanted to talk with you about some recent discoveries in this regard and my recent travels to Tennessee, which acted as a test to the things that I have learned about what, quote unquote, real self-care actually is. So I was headed to Tennessee to present at the Choice Summit. If you listened to the recent episode with Heather Adams, who runs Choice Media and Communications, you'll remember that I talked about how I was going to be a presenter at the conference. And it was a gathering of female entrepreneurs from all over the U.S. And so I was really, really excited about it. I had gone the previous year as a participant, so I knew a bit of what to expect. But this time as a presenter, I was giddily excited to share my knowledge with the women and to glean knowledge from the other women as well. So my expectations for the trip were that I would be presenting. I was hoping to just meet some like-minded women. But also, when I travel for work, I have now made it a habit of adding on one or two days that are just dedicated to me after that work event so that I am not coming home, jumping right back into wife, mama life, and feeling resentful towards everyone because I haven't gotten a minute of introvert time. So my other expectation for the trip was that I was going to have these two glorious days post-conference to give myself that introvert time to focus on some writing I've been really excited about lately and to generally just decompress. Since I am an introvert who oddly loves speaking on stages, I knew that no matter how fabulous the conference was, that it was going to take a lot out of me, not as a presenter, but more as a networker. I find that networking is really, really important, and yet it takes a lot of energy from me that can only be replenished when I'm by myself. So that was the goal. The other goal was that I was going to drive there and back. It's about a 7.5 to 8 hour drive, depending on traffic. And I was going to listen to audiobooks on the way there and back as another way of pouring into myself and using that driving time as a well filler, so to speak. So those were my goals. I knew in particular that I was going to be listening on the way there to Dr. Pooja Lakshman's audiobook, which is called Real Self-Care. I had all of this in mind. I knew it was going to be a self-care focused week away. And I find that I need these times away probably about once every 4 months if I can swing it. I would do this every month if I could. But I really try to get some time away, whether it's a day, a weekend, or even a week, every few months if possible. So that was on my mind. The night before I left, my son got an ear infection. He had been getting over a cold. He was on antibiotics and he was doing all right, but then started complaining about his ear the night before I was to drive the 8 hours from Florida to just outside of Nashville. To say it was a bit unnerving is an understatement. He was in deep pain. We tried giving him drops. We were trying to do as much as we could ourselves to help him. And then I knew the next day that I was supposed to be leaving by around 8:30 a.m. So anything that happened after that, my husband would be solely in charge of. My husband and I are equal parents. This is not the sort of situation where I go away and I'm terrified that our child is not going to eat or sleep and he's just going to have junk food all the time because my partner doesn't know what they're doing. This is not the situation. Jamie and I are very, very equal parents. So when I leave, I trust that all will be well. But it is still unnerving to leave your sick kid behind and to know that your partner not only has their regular job, has to hold down the household and the two dogs and do all the household things for the week you're gone, but then also now take care of a sick kiddo. So I delayed my departure by about 2 hours so that Gio could sleep in while Jamie was out on a work call. And I wanted to allow Gio to just get as much rest as possible because he had had a fraught night's sleep. So of course, now I kind of started off the trip feeling a little, not behind, but just sort of like, all right, plans are being slightly diverted. And it was my own choice to do this, but it was a little bit of a rough start. So when I left and kind of did the handoff with Gio, I was just kind of crossing my fingers that this ear ache would go away, wouldn't turn into an infection, and that all would be well. I drove the 8 hours from Florida to Tennessee and listened to the entire audiobook of Real Self-Care. And it was so perfectly timed for what I was experiencing. And not only that, but just perfectly timed for a busy working mother to be considering when it came to real self-care. Real self-care has been on my mind, not just lately, but for years and years. And increasingly over the most recent few years, I think it's also why I put out my guided journal, Come Home to Your Heart, because I'm really trying to figure out what actually makes a change in our lives, what is fruitful, what actually does fill our well, what really makes us feel in touch with our capital S selves. What is that like? I also think that turning 40 this year has put me into that very reflective space as well. So all these things were going through my mind. The last thing that also had this going on in my mind is that I have deemed this year the year of hard conversations. I started seeing a new therapist a few months back, and one of the major things we're working on is avoiding. So how to stop avoiding all the things that are difficult and actually look them in the face and do them, conquer them. And One of those things is hard conversations, confrontations, stating my own needs. This is an area that for me, with some people, it's super easy. I can clearly express what I need, but for others, I hint, I'm not direct. And gosh, if there's any sort of cringy, like negative feedback that I have to give to someone else, oh gosh, I hate it. And so this has been the year of hard conversations with family members and friends and team members, et cetera, where I am trying to be more direct. It doesn't mean that every conversation I'm having is a negative one. It just means that I'm being more direct and I'm stating what I need. That's hard for me. So all this in mind, I was driving, I was listening to Pooja. It was a beautiful sunny day. I was going through Alabama and then going through the mountains in Tennessee. And she just completely captured exactly what I've been thinking and feeling about self-care. That all the bath bombs and crystals and spa days are never going to do it for you if those things don't fill you up, align with your values, actually give you real lasting change. And so she broke it down into such spot-on steps and defined things in new ways that I was just nodding the whole time. I wish I weren't driving so that I could take notes. And here's what she was talking about. You know, there are tools that we can use and those serve us for a time, but really she was talking about self-care principles. And those are things that give us a long-lasting change because they are internal ways of being, ways that we hold high in order to navigate our lives, not just a 10-minute period of time. And so these principles that she talked about were really fourfold. And here's what they were. They were establishing boundaries, clear boundaries, offering ourselves deep self-compassion, aligning with our values, and then really stepping into our power so that we can create systematic change as well as individual change. Great, but easier said than done, right? What does this actually look like? What does it actually mean? Well, I got to test it out when I was in Nashville. So to give an example, say you're starting a new job and you have expressed a deep value to your team and your new boss that work-life balance is key and time with your family is of utmost importance to you. So the value that you hold is deep connection with your family in addition to working hard for your company, right? That is the value that you hold, is connection with your family members. That is key for you. So suddenly your new boss says, I know that, you know, in the job description, it says you were only supposed to work 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, but we need you to attend this, I don't know, work event on a Thursday night. This is where you look at your values, which is connection with your family, and you have to create a boundary in which you say to that boss, I would love to, but that eats into my family time. I have an important commitment for, you know, my son's music concert that night. And so I can't. And in fact, I can't do bonus things on a weeknight. That is a hard boundary to set. That's really, really hard. The boundary isn't hard to set. It's the anticipation actually of the reaction you're going to get. When Pooja said that, I was just nodding. We don't fear the boundary. We know what we need to establish in terms of boundaries. We know what we want to do and don't want to do, what's important to us and what's not. The boundary setting is difficult because we are anticipating the backlash, the reactions from other people, the judgments, the dismissals, the negative results that are going to come from it. We are anticipating all of these things, and that's what makes the boundary hard to set. That's where the self-compassion comes in, where we have to take all that ruminating we're doing. Oh gosh, they're going to fire me. I just started at this place. I'm already saying that I can't do this. Other members of the team have no problem saying yes to this. I'm not going to come off as a team player. I'm not going to get that next promotion. On and on it goes. And so to that voice, we have to be really, really self-compassionate to remember our worthiness and to know that we are worthy and deserving of whatever it is that we're trying to establish here. And then the fourth part of it is that power. This is where by making those hard decisions, we're stepping into our power and actually creating models for other people, which leads to change. So an example of this would be, okay, this new worker says no, that they can't do these nighttime work things. And the company actually pays attention to this. Oh, okay, we're getting some pushback. This is really not aligning with other people's goals of spending deep connected time outside of work with their loved ones. Well, what can we do about this? They could do a number of things, right? They might say, you know what, we're not going to require anymore that people do weeknight networking work events. Or they might say, we're going to make it a voluntary thing and there will be incentives, but it's not going to be expected or required. Or there might be a revolving schedule so that the same people aren't over and over again expected to do nighttime networking commitments. And so in this way, change, systematic change is created. And we're seeing this. We're seeing this all over. The current workforce is showing to companies, guess what? Work culture is really important. 4-day work weeks are really important. Paid parental leave is really important. All of these things are happening because people made hard decisions to stand up for what they value, and they became models that inspired other people to do the same, which made companies go, I guess we've got to make some changes too. Again, all easier said than done, but you get the idea. So I was listening to this the entire way down, and it was so riveting and so true that I could see why this is a beloved book. So this was all on my mind when I went to Tennessee. I got in that night and I went to the 12 South area of Nashville, which is a super cute strip of restaurants and boutique stores and coffee shops and live music being played. And I met up with a neighbor who lives part-time here in Florida and part-time in Nashville. She and her two girlfriends met up with me for dinner. And we just got to sit and chat. And it was really great being in the company of women. I'm always so happy when I get to spend time with other amazing women. They have had amazing lives, these women. They're older than me. And just to listen to their wisdom was really, really wonderful. So I love being in the company of wise women. So then I walked along after dinner. I just walked along that street to get a feel of the vibe and the energy. And it was just so fun. Everyone was in spring excitement mode, you know, outdoor dining and listening to live music and walking around. And it was so lush, all the trees, the flowers, the plants were in full bloom, and it was just great energy. And I, of course, was curious how things were going back home. And at the same time, I knew that I had to also create a boundary that, as long as things were not in dire straits, I knew that I had to detach a bit and not constantly be checking in. Again, real self-care. This is hard. My people are my most important beings in the whole universe. My boys, as I call them, my husband and son, are the most important beings in my life, and also my mom and sister. And so when anything is involving them, that's where it gets tricky for me to establish boundaries. But usually when I go away, my family knows I'll probably check in once a day, but that's it. And it's because I need to keep my mind and heart in my present experience and not be pulled and tugged into what's going on in home life, because odds are I'll want to be a part of whatever it is or come home early, and my mind and emotions will not be in their present space. They'll be back home with my family. So I got there on a Saturday night. Sunday morning, I got word from Jamie that Gio was miserable. He was in deep pain. And of course, it's a Sunday. The pediatrics office is closed. Jamie had not gotten a great night's sleep. It was just pretty awful. And I had a full day of networking events that day. And I said, okay, we have to come up with a plan. Here's what I can do until I leave to go to all these events, and then I can't be of much use. So he called the pediatrician on call. I called our naturopath back home. We compared notes. There was a plan. Even though he was miserable, he wasn't in the situation of needing to go to the hospital. So even though I was terrified and worried and catastrophizing, I said to Jamie, if anything gets worse, please call me immediately. But if I don't hear from you, I'm going to assume that things are under control. This was a boundary I had to create. I had to know that our son was in good hands with my husband, and if the situation escalated, I would be alerted, but otherwise we weren't going to communicate much that day so that I could be present for the day of events. And it was a great day of events. There was a brunch, and I got to meet a lot of other amazing women. And then there was a happy hour at a vineyard, and I got to meet so many amazing women and connect with some women that I had met the year before. And then there was a dinner for the presenters, for the speakers, a small intimate dinner of just the people who were presenting. And I loved that because Heather led the dinner by saying, I'm all about intentional gatherings. I'm curious if she read the book Art of Gathering, because that's what it's all about, intentional gathering. And she said, so I have two questions for you that we're going to talk about at dinner. Oh gosh, was I relieved, because nothing takes energy out of me like random small talk. Give me an impactful, intentional conversation and I can talk all day long. So her first question was, if you were to write a memoir, what would the title be? This is fun for a memoir writer. And then the other one was, what is putting the wind in your sails right now? Another way of saying it is the Barbara Brown Taylor quote, which is, what is saving your life right now? What's bringing you joy, right? What's thrilling you? What's impacting you? And that was wonderful. I got to talk about jumping on the trampoline with Gio and how I'm just soaking up every moment of that, because we're in our own world and he turns 11 next week. And it's just like, where's the time going? So I'm just savoring it. And with the memoir discussion, let's just say there are more writing projects in the works that I'm doing. And while I'm not writing another memoir, I am doing some other kind of writing that is nonfiction that you may be seeing in the near future. And so I got to talk a little bit about that. Yes, keep updated here because you'll be knowing more soon. So that filled my well. And Jamie let me know that they had an appointment at the pediatrician's office first thing on Monday morning. So that gave me a little bit of relief, but I still didn't sleep well that night, knowing all that was going on back home. The next day was the big conference day. It was on the Monday, and this is where 80 women were gathered together in this beautiful venue at the Greystone Quarry. You could get married there. It's a beautiful venue. It has a waterfall and a pond, and it's a big room with vaulted ceilings, a lodge-type feel. Beautiful. And it was going to be all the women and then all the presenters and just a powerhouse room. And again, I knew that I was going to be in that space all day long and I wasn't going to be of use. So I checked in with Jamie right before and I said, okay, I'm about to go into an 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. full day of conference. Let me know if anything is escalating, but just know I likely won't be in touch. And he said, of course. And you know, I got to talk to Gio a little bit and he sounded pretty not happy, but still okay-ish. And so I said, all right, here we go. So the conference was wonderful, a room packed full of these women business owners who are just amazing. And I have to say though, at the same time, when you are around anyone who is successful in an area that you care about, your comparison radar will be going off like crazy and the shoulds will start building in your mind. It doesn't matter how fabulous the gathering is when you are around other people who are doing what you love to do. If you're at a writing conference, if you're at if you're really into pickleball and you're at a pickleball tournament, no matter what it is and no matter how amazing the gathering, there's going to be something that goes off in your brain that's going to make you start going, I should be doing more. I should. Oh, they're doing that. Ooh, I should really be doing that. And you go from feeling inspired to feeling shameful and overwhelmed. And that is no fun. Leanna Tankersley calls this voice the soul bullies. They really do bully you. So I had to have this deep self-compassion all day that day. And I actually had to have it at the presenter's dinner too, the night before on Sunday night, because there were some powerhouse people at that dinner, and I could have, if I wanted to, the voice in my head that says, you know, oh, well, I'm not as blank as so-and-so, and they're doing so much better in this area. And so before I went to the presenter's dinner, I laid down in my dress on the hotel bed, and I did breath work for 15 minutes to get me into a calm, grounded state that reminded me that I am a worthy and deserving human, and I get to take up as much space as I want, no matter how many millions of dollars anybody else makes or how successful they are here or how best-selling their book is there. I deserve to be in the same space and to take up space. And that served me well also during the conference, where I had to constantly remind myself, I'm not going to shrink here. I'm not going to do the, oh, I just have a little podcast or I just have a little book. The just and the little. A few of the presenters and I talked about this, how tempted we always are to downgrade what we do because we don't want to come off, what, arrogant? I don't know. And so we bring it down with the just and the little and the soft voice and the submissive or the, oh, but enough about me. Tell me about yourself. And I was really trying hard to hold my own space and talk about what I do with the enthusiasm that I actually feel about it. I love what I do. And I'm excited about what I do, so why can't I talk enthusiastically about it? An earlier episode of Heart of the Story, I interviewed Jenna Blum, who got herself on the bestseller list by basically talking book club to book club about her book with enthusiasm that really just rippled out. And that's what she talks about. If you feel cringy talking about yourself or your accolades, just bring the actual pure enthusiasm that you have to it, and it's contagious. It is contagious. So conference day, that's what I was doing. And when I came home that night, some of the other people were going out to dinner. And again, I had a choice about what to do. And by that point, I had already had the whole day of networking the day before, and I had the whole conference day talking to people, and I needed nature. I needed to move my body. I had been in high heels and a fancy pantsuit and sitting in a chair all day. I needed movement. I needed connection with my family to check in. But most importantly, I needed to clear my own head. So I politely declined. And this comes back to real self-care. My value at that time was me time, movement of my body, giving my body what it needed. My body was screaming, please move me. No more high heels, no more sitting, please. My brain was going, okay, no more chit-chat, no more networking. We need to clear our head. Those values helped me create the boundary of thank you, but I'll do my own thing tonight. And then it also created this self-compassion that I needed when my brain started having FOMO. But what if they have a great time? And what if important connections are made during that dinner and you're not there and you're missing out and blah, 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 right? No, self-compassion. And so I went on a jog around this beautiful path that goes along the river over in Franklin, Tennessee, where I was staying. Oh, I immediately felt great. My body was like, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I talked to Jamie and Gio, and I learned that Gio had developed walking pneumonia. Luckily, Jamie said it was very, very mild. Basically, the doctor heard a little bit of like crackling in the lungs, and she also saw pus in Gio's ears, so he had a double ear infection, and his oxygen level was, maybe like 95 as opposed to the last time when it was 97. I might be getting the numbers wrong, but so of course, there was deep panic. When you hear pneumonia in regards to your own child, it's just like, oh my goodness. What did I immediately want to do? I wanted to race home. And I talked to Jamie. I had a lot of conversations, and he was expressing that the doctor was not worried, that Gio was now on a very strong antibiotic, that she knew he would be getting better really quickly. He was even cleared to go back to school within the next day after that, as long as he felt okay. So there was just this moment of, oh my goodness, but also, okay. And I had to process a lot of different feelings. I was on speakerphone with both Jamie and Gio, and I asked Gio to get off the phone, and I said to Jamie, give me the real deal here. I am trusting you that you will be honest with me about how severe this situation is, and if he's actually getting better, because Gio was saying, yeah, no, I'm feeling a little better. And I said, I need you to give me the real deal, because if I need to come home, fine, I need to come home. I'll let the team know, and I won't do my workshop tomorrow. I am going to do whatever we need to do. And Jamie said, no, it's under control. He's doing better. He has the medicine. We're just going to rest, lots of fluids. Okay. It was, again, another night of not great sleep, and I had my workshop the next day. And there is the irony, right, that I'm doing a workshop about getting calm to get clear. And it was the medicine I most needed myself. And so what I did that night before the workshop is I just sat in bed and I went over what I needed to do. And then I listened to a yoga nidra meditation to calm myself. And I was giving myself the exact thing that I was about to give the women the next day, because my session was part yoga nidra meditation and part journaling. And I knew that I could not give of myself if I did not give to myself first. Lots of tests of this real self-care. And I knew also I was coming to this workshop having been a little depleted from the drive and the 2 days of networking and then all that this was going on back home. And I wanted to fill myself back up so that I could be a steady, grounded force for the women the next day. It was so powerful because the entire workshop day was about the soul level care. It's like, okay, the previous day we had learned some brass tacks, tools and techniques to really think about tending to our business well and envisioning more for our businesses. But workshop day was a smaller intimate gathering. And we're talking about the real stuff, about how to give and lead our businesses from a place of centered groundedness and act from intention rather than from the shoulds. And so it was all these women talking about the very same thing that I've just been talking about this whole episode, which is how do we make actual choices that matter and not just go with following the directions of all the shoulds. What you should do as a woman, what you should do as a business owner, what you should do as a partner, what you should do as a mom if you have kids, what you should do, blah, blah, blah. How to lead and make decisions from a place of clear intention. And so I got the women grounded and calm. And then I asked them to get in touch with their inner wisdom the way that I do every day with my letter to self that I do in my journal. Usually it goes something like this. There's a mirror where my wise self says to me, present self, what she is noticing about my situation. So she might say something like, "Hi, sweetheart. I notice that you're really excited to be here, but you also feel really torn because you want to be back home with your boy. And I know this is so desperately hard," right? She's just compassionately witnessing what I'm going through. And then I have five questions, or five prompts rather, which is, first one, your deepest longing is, it's today in the moment right now, your deepest longing is. And so maybe in that moment, it's your deepest longing right now is getting clear so you can make your next best judgment call with this situation about what's going on back home. Then the next prompt is your deepest wisdom is, or your deepest knowing is. This one is a game changer. Always there's something interesting that happens here. So it'll be your deepest knowing about this is Jamie's got it under control. It's going to be okay. And if things escalate, he will let you know. And you can get back home in a second. But it's under control right now. Most of what's going on is in your mind, where you are catastrophizing. And so this is really helpful to listen to the wisdom. And the next one is you can let go of. That's always really powerful. You can let go of what's not serving you right now in this moment. And then the next is I'm proud of you for. My wise self is always proud of me for making time to tune in. That's the number one thing she said she's proud of me for. It's not, I'm proud of you for writing a book. I'm proud of you for this accolade or this. No, it's, I'm really proud of you for making this time here to get back in touch with yourself. And then the last one is your next right step is. Not your next 30, your next right step is. This always gives me clarity, this five-part letter to self. It takes 5 minutes. I also have it in my guided journal, Come Home to Your Heart. It's in chapter number one because it's the thing I do the most. Women were crying. You could see it was just like, yes, because they were hearing their wisest self on the page. And many of them had never done anything like that. They had journaled, but not with those kinds of prompts. And then I asked them to partner with someone and just share whatever they were comfortable sharing. Wow, the connection that was happening. Women were realizing what they actually wanted to do, not what they should be doing in any area of their life. So workshop day went really, really well. I loved being able to lead that and then hear the great wisdom of the other women in the room. There was a woman named Jean. She has a business called Cultivating Sanctuary. And she talked about the reservoir mindset, where you really think about the reservoir that is always holding water, not emptying every single time, being a dry well or a desert, but a reservoir that's always holding water. And then when you need to, you can move the cranks and the levers, make certain decisions to let water out for whatever you need to place your energy into. But the reservoir fills back up. And because you always have water in that reservoir, then you can give of your energy from a place of fullness. And the reservoir is sturdy. It's on all sides, very sturdy. And the structure contains it. And the structure is your boundaries. And just thinking about that was so meaningful, especially given the theme of this trip. Finally, as I learned that Gio was getting better back home, I did take those 2 days. And I wrote, I was very tempted to come back home early. I could have, and that would have been fine. Maybe if he hadn't been rapidly getting better, I would have made that decision. But the more and more that Jamie reassured me that Gio was doing better and I FaceTimed with him and I could see he was making jokes, I could see that he was on the mend, I made the decision to stay the 2 days that I had planned for. And I went to a coffee shop and I wrote. I wrote, I wrote, I wrote. I could have used everything that I just learned from the conference and put it into business strategy, and I could have done a million other things. I could have answered all the emails that had been piling up while I was away. I could have and should have even possibly done these other things. But what I wanted to do was right, was to be creative, was to lose myself in the flow. And so I went to a coffee shop and wrote for 3 hours. I haven't done that in quite a while. And it was glorious. It was heavenly. I went to the Frothy Monkey in downtown Franklin, and they have a beautiful porch that's shaded, and it has a high top kind of bar that goes along the whole railing. And that's what I love. I always look for that because I'm a standing writer. I love typing and standing at the same time. And I have not felt in the flow like that in a long time because I've been in a different writing mode. I've been in book promotion mode. So this felt glorious to be working on something new and to just get in the flow of it and to lose track of time was wonderful. The following day, I did the same thing. I wrote, and I ended up going to a great co-working space called the Sapphire Suite, which is also in Franklin. The owner there is wonderful. Her name is Tammy, and it's an all-female co-working space that's just delightful. I'm ready to move to Franklin, Tennessee just for that, just to be at that co-working space. Man, it sure beats in a home office. All those women in one space. What a great community. And so I got to go there and talk with other women, talk with Tammy, and it was delightful. And then I drove home. And finally, on the drive home, I listened to 4,000 Weeks by Oliver Berkman. And it was yet another self-care related piece of literature because it talks about that the average human has about 4,000 weeks to live if they're fortunate enough to live to close to 80. And yet we falsely all believe that there will be an end to the to-do list. And so what happens is that we become productivity machines who never actually reach the end of the to-do list because there is no end. And we sacrifice all the things that are important to us for the myth that we will check off everything on the to-do list. It is just such a convoluted way to live, and yet the vast majority of us live that way. We are addicted to the productivity and the to-do list through no fault of our own. The culture promotes it highly, and we never actually attend to the things that are important. It just further reinforced all the things that I've been thinking and feeling about this real self-care. And Sundays have become I call them sacred Sundays, my day of no phone. So I try to put my phone away for the good majority of the day. I'm not texting. I'm not looking at it. I'm not looking up anything. If I need to know what the weather is, I step outside. If I need to know what the time is, I look at the oven clock. And it's made for really glorious family time and naps and beach time and reading on the couch or on the porch. And if I hadn't really thought hard about these things, real self-care, the 4,000 weeks, I would use my Sundays for all the things that do need to be done, like laundry and cleaning and any number of tasks. But they will be there forever and always. And my little boy will only be this age once. So what's more important is that family time. So after I got back, that's what I did with my boys. We had a sacred Sunday, beach day, afternoon naps, reading on the couch, and it was glorious. And yes, Gio is feeling better. He is back in school. It was a very, very sweet reunion to finally be able to move beyond FaceTime and cuddle with my sweet boy and to see Jamie and give hugs all around. So I hope that it will inspire you to really think about real self-care, as Dr. Pooja Lakshman talks about these four steps of real self-care: creating boundaries, channeling self-compassion, and leading from our values, stepping into our power, and creating systematic change. It is huge, because I noticed that when I was leading that workshop and showing women how to rest, how to take care of themselves, even in how they set up their yoga mat, I said, well, you know, why do women typically just take one blanket or one pillow when they're doing something like this at a yoga studio? Take all you want. Luxuriate on yourself. Give yourself what you need. And then when I was modeling the journaling about the way that we can tap into our own wisdom, I hope that in some way it created a ripple effect so that women, when they go back home, will institute some of this rest into their weeks or even their days. And then their loved ones witness that. And maybe they start doing it, you know, so on and so forth. And then we have systematic change. That's what was on my mind from this trip. And as I said, I hope that it makes you think about real self-care. I have a yoga nidra practice, a guided meditation that I created. If you would like some real self-care of your own, it is over on my website, nadinekennyjohnstone.com/reset. Give yourself 30 minutes of luxurious rest. You are worthy and deserving always of this rest. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with a friend who could use some real self-care. And you can tag me on Instagram. I'm at Nadine Kenny Johnstone. Thank you, Michelle Rado, for all you do with this podcast. And remember, everyone, Every heart has a story, and every story has a heart. See you next week.